Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text this morning is the Holy Gospel, which contains the most famous verse in all of Scripture. Yet today we will hear that the odds were against us, but God changes the probability of your salvation. Please be seated. Dearest ones of Christ Jesus, the odds are very, very, very long. The probability is exactly this. The probability is 0%, nada, nil, none. The chances of any of our youth ever being drafted by the Cleveland Browns, nearly a 0%. Now, I know what you're thinking. Why would anyone want to be drafted by the Browns? Beside the point. But the chances are nearly 0%. The chances of any of our college grads ever becoming the next multi-billionaire, nearly 0%. It could happen, but the chances are really against them. The chances that you and I could save ourselves and stand before a holy and just God, all because of our virtue, not nearly 0%, it is 0%. You see, the probability against you and me getting to heaven by what we do is 0%. These, my dear friends, are horrible, horrible odds. But there is still good news. There is still good news for each and every one of us. For today you will hear that God Himself changes. He changes the odds. He changes the probability of your salvation. It should be obvious to us by now that natural man is doomed. Jesus Himself tells us this morning, that which is born of flesh is flesh. And we know that there is no good in the flesh, that the wages of sin is death, and that since Adam and Eve turned away from God, as you heard last week, and listened to Satan, sin came into the world, and with sin there is death. Jesus also tells us that no one has ever ascended into heaven. That's also an indicator for us that we ourselves cannot ascend into heaven and save ourselves. The odds? 0%. This morning we hear of Nicodemus. Nicodemus, one of the Pharisees. Nicodemus represented the aristocratic, the legalistic Judaism of his day. In a way that we could say that Nicodemus represented the intelligentsia, the upper crust of our time, those people who are supposed to be in the know, those who are supposed to know everything, and they'll have no problem telling you that they know everything. But the best that Nicodemus could do, did you notice? The very best that Nicodemus could do was to move by darkness of night. He came to Jesus at night. Also, we know that the best that Nicodemus could do was move through the intrigue of politics. Later in the book of John, John writes for us, Nicodemus, who had gone to him before, and who was one of them, said to them, does our law judge a man without first giving him a hearing and learning what he does? This is when the Pharisees and the scribes and the chief priests had sent the temple guards to arrest Jesus, but they came back in fear of the people. And Nicodemus, being a Pharisee, being a politician, speaks politics. The best that Nicodemus could do, dear ones, was to move to the gloom of the grave. Later again in the book of John, he writes, Nicodemus also, who earlier had come to Jesus by night, came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds in weight. It was Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea who embalmed Jesus, if you will, who put the spices on him as he was laid into the tomb after his crucifixion. So you see, as with Nicodemus, our very best efforts are doomed. Isaiah writes and tells us, "We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away." We neither understand nor can we control anything here on earth. Have you ever thought about it? There are people who are trying to convince you that they can control events here on earth, but they really can't. Jesus tells us we don't know where the wind comes from and where it's going. How can we even think that we can control the wind? How can we control the weather and the coming snow? How can we control natural occurrences that happen not only in our lives here in Shum, but in those events that happen across the world? It's obvious to us that we are not in control. Even less do we, on our own behalf, believe heavenly things. Jesus tells us, if we can't control things that are on earth, how can we possibly understand heavenly things? You see, once again, the odds are really, really against us. But God is gracious, and God is merciful. And he sent his Son, and Jesus came to change the odds in your favor. God the Father does not want you to perish. God the Father doesn't want anyone to die in their trespasses and sin. God's desire is that all people confess their sins, confess that Jesus is their Lord, and be saved. How do we know this? Our children just told us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, Jesus came into the world not to condemn the world, but to save the world. And he himself says it there in the very next verse. "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world." Jesus came. Jesus came into your life. He came into this world to bring life, to bring eternal life. Yes, it's true. Eternal life is actually a present reality for you and me. Even though I may attempt to stand and measure eternal life, as we just talked with the kids, over a period of time, I'd have to stop, because eternal life cannot be measured. Eternal life is a gift. It's something that cannot be measured. But this eternal life has been given to us. It's been given to us as a gift. As Jesus himself tells us this morning, those born from above in Christ Jesus have this quality of life. Jesus, in his own words, tells us, unless one is born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. His own words, not my words, not your words, the words of your Savior, the words of God himself. That which is born of the Spirit, as you look at your insert and you see there in the reading, the word Spirit is in the capital, the Holy Spirit. That which is born of the Holy Spirit is Spirit. You see, your Lord Jesus' method was to change the odds for you. He came to change the probabilities into your favor, not in the favor of Satan, not in the favor of our sin, not into the favor of our sinful human flesh, but to change the probabilities so that we could and can be saved. Notice that Jesus did his work not in darkness. Unlike Nicodemus and unlike you and I in our sin, We like to hide in the darkness and do things under the cover of darkness. But Jesus did his in full view of everyone. He did his work in the light, for he himself is the light. Later, Jesus speaks to the Jews and says, I have spoken openly to the world. I have always taught in the synagogues and in the temple, where all Jews come together. I have said nothing in secret. Yet Jesus came into your darkness, and he came into my darkness. And that light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Jesus endured the darkness of the cross as he came into our dark world. Jesus didn't stand on the outside and look in. No, he came right into the very center. We could say that he jumped in to the direct center of our cesspool. And he jumped in, feet first, up to his neck. And there he suffered with us, suffered as we do, and yet he did not die spiritually. He died physically, but he lived after 3 days and rose. And therefore, in enduring the darkness of the cross, the Son of Man had to be lifted up. And whoever believes in him may have eternal life. This is what Jesus has done for you. He knows your suffering. He knows the issues that you have in your life. Why do you try to hide them from him? Why do you try to operate in the cover of darkness? Why do you try to run from him? You cannot run from God. You cannot hide from God. Repent of your sin. Repent and believe what he has done for you. And in your repentance, he will shine his light of mercy on you. He will shine on you his light of grace. And he will announce to you that your sin, all your sin, is forgiven. Yes, that poison of sin, though, that poison of sin which affects all of us, actually drives us into despair. Yet it doesn't have to. For we know that the poison of sin, which Satan himself injected into this world and injected into Adam and Eve, we know that it would certainly kill us spiritually. But Jesus took that poison. He took the poison from us. He absorbed that poison into himself. He took your sin and my sin into himself and nailed them to a cross. Jesus died for your sin and my sin and the sins of the whole world. For your sake, he, God the Father, made him, God the Son, to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him, God the Son, we might become the righteousness of God. And there, dear ones, is the great exchange. He took your sin here, and he gave to you his holiness, his perfection, his righteousness, a free gift. You see, the odds were truly, truly against us. Without Jesus going to the cross, you and I would have 0% of being saved. The odds were certainly against us. Yet your Father in heaven, he made a promise. He made a promise there in the Garden of Eden. You heard it last week, that Satan would bruise his heel, but the Messiah would crush the head of the serpent. And this coming Messiah, he would be the one who would freely pay the penalty of your sin and my sin and the sins of Adam and Eve and the sins of the whole world. Jesus has truly changed the probability of your salvation. And in your baptisms, dear one, you have taken on the name of Jesus, given to you freely. You have been born again from above, born by the power of the Spirit. And because of this great work, and because what Jesus has done for you, the odds were changed into your favor. In your faith, you cling to God. You cling to his promises. You cling to his sacraments. You cling to the means of grace. You cling to his word. And in that faith, the odds are 100%. that you will stand before your Savior and you will stand before your Father, and He will say to you, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Come into the kingdom prepared for you even before the foundation of the world." This is what Jesus has done for you. Just as the priest would enter into the Holy of Holies and sprinkle the blood upon the Ark of the Covenant, and then he would come out and sprinkle the blood upon the people. Last week you came here into the Holy of Holies, and Jesus himself sprinkled his blood on you, and he has given you a clean conscience, a clear conscience, a good conscience. And in that good, clear, clean conscience, you know, you have faith, you know for 100% that Jesus is your Savior, that heaven is yours, and that He is your way and your truth, and that Jesus Himself is your life. Yes, God so loved you that He sent His Son. He sent Him into this world, into your world, and because of what He has done for you, you are not condemned, but you have everlasting life. 100%. Thanks be to Jesus. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.